Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My Mate Bought a Toaster is brought to you in association with Duelit. We've got a great competition. You can win a four-slot classic toaster, some sandwich cages, a classic kettle. People will walk into your kitchen and go, that is a classic kettle. You'll win a taster pack of compostable coffee bags and a travel mug. It's a great prize. You just have to go to duelit.com/toasterpod and you'll be entered into the competition. And there's five lots of that to give away. I mean, I'm so happy with this competition, but I feel like it's not funky enough. Maybe if we just...
Duelit is Duelit Toaster in the house. Teaming up with Toaster Pod. Oh my god. Duelit is Duelit Toaster. Shout it out. A toasty slice from Tom Price on Toaster Pod.
That's right. All you've got to do is head over to duelit.com/toasterpod. Right now, head over there. duelit.com/toasterpod for a brilliant bundle of wonderful Duelit goodies to make your kitchen look absolutely classic. That's duelit.com/toasterpod. 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 That's better.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, oh, toaster for my love. Thank God, toaster.
Hello and welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the show where we tell someone's life story by going through their Amazon purchase history. My guest today is the fabulous comedian Ed Byrne.
Hello. Hello, Tom. I'm looking forward to this. I have a long and storied history of Amazon purchases and I toyed with the idea of just having a scroll through and going, I wonder if he brings that up, I wonder if he brings that up. But I thought, you know what, I'm quite looking forward to having certain memories just rekindled by this.
I want the cameras and the microphone to capture the moment. Mm. It's a bit like, you know, the Facebook time hop thing, but with junk.
Yeah.
It's junk hop.
Yeah.
And you're just, the moment where you go, oh, but often there's like a love where you're like, oh my God, what? I love that thing. I should have, you know.
Yeah.
But frequently you're going to go.
Is there a lot of junk? Have you got a lot of junk there?
I don't know. You tell me. You tell me how much junk there is in this particular trunk. Let's crack on. We're going to go to one of your earliest purchases, Ed, which is August 2007.
Radio.
You went absolutely mad for it. Now, I thought when I saw this, I was like, oh, it's going to Edinburgh because it's August.
Okay.
The beginning of August, 5th of August 2007.
Oh, no, that would be, it would be the end of July I'd be buying stuff for Edinburgh, but yeah.
You spent £318 on a huge amount of stuff.
Okay.
And it's really varied.
Okay.
So in a way, the whole podcast could just be this first thing you bought.
Okay. And is this my very first thing? Yeah. Is this me suddenly, I'm on Amazon?
Here's Amazon.
So I can get anything I want.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I feel like you're stress testing Amazon.
Right.
And just going through and going, yes, that. So for example, Tiger Woods PGA Tour on the PlayStation 3.
Okay, yeah. I remember playing that. Yeah. That was one of those very frustrating games.
Yeah.
I've tried playing golf for real and I've just ruined several holidays just spending a day trying to do that and gone,
yeah,
this isn't for me.
Golf is for life, not just a holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you need to commit.
If you want to take that up, I can help you, but that is a separate podcast.
No.
That's a hard note to
put that one away.
Okay, fine, right. But that's just the tip of the iceberg on this first order. You bought Dr. Kawashima's brain training, How Old Is Your Brain?
And it never worked. That was for the Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
I've just found myself yelling at it. Yellow! Yellow! I don't know whether it just couldn't understand my voice, but it never worked.
But that shows that your brain must have been that of like an 80-year-old man.
It turned me into it. Yeah, I was yelling angrily at electronic devices, which I feel aged me straight away.
You've then bought, and I like this, there's a sort of element of Trojan horse purchase here, because you've bought all these graphic novels, you've bought a computer game, and then right in the middle of it, the Robert Palmer album, Heavy Nova.
That was an album I enjoyed very much as a younger man. Yes, Heavy Nova by Robert Palmer, which featured, if I'm not mistaken, such songs as...
go on, I've got them here, so
Simply Irresistible.
Why not?
And She Makes My Day.
Yeah.
that was one of the that I had on vinyl back in, and then I left all my vinyl in a flat in Glasgow when I moved to London, and then went back to the flat, and the people that used to live there moved out, and it was just gone. It was about 4 foot of vinyl.
That's heartbreaking.
Yes, I had every Prince album and every 12-inch of every Prince single.
Don't try and work out how much that's now worth.
Yeah.
Don't put a number on that
I
stuff.
Haven't even started trying to just rebuy them because I'm just like, just don't do it.
Are you quite, not that this is necessarily scatty, but leaving a box of precious vinyal behind, are you quite scatty like
I
that?
I wasn't that. I moved to London by coach.
Oh my.
Like I didn't drive down around like that. So I kind of went back and did it. Like I went back and got me videotapes.
Yeah.
Me VHSs. And then I went back again to get my vinyl and everyone had moved out.
Kids today,
yeah,
moving, they've got a cloud. The cloud hovers above them.
Yeah.
All the way down the road.
Yeah.
And you've got a, you know, it's much harder to move in the old days.
Yes. Yes. Especially when you were broke. And
right.
You were getting the overnight coach from Glasgow to London that was, I think it was £11.
That's got real skipping rent vibes.
Yeah.
Have you been back to Scotland since? Do they know where you are? So how long were you in Glasgow for?
I lived in Glasgow for 3.5 years.
Yeah, uni?
I was a student there for a couple of years. And then I worked in the Students' Union. I dropped out of uni, but then I worked as a sabbatical officer at the Students' Union.
They must have hated you because you had all the best bits of uni without...
I did, yeah. I sucked the marrow right out of every bone. And enjoyed myself to the fullest at university. And then started out as a comic, did that for a couple of months, and then moved to London where the streets are paved with comedy clubs.
They are covered in literally every paving slab is a comedy club waiting to happen.
Yes.
Ed, let's dig in and find out. Talking of digging in, perfect. Yeah. 10th of August 2007, a few days after this enormous delivery arrived, right. You obviously needed something to move the comics and computer games around, all these things that you bought. You bought a 90-litre wheelbarrow.
Uh-huh, yeah, I could see that.
That's a bath.
Huge. I do still do a fair bit again. That wheelbarrow broke under the weight of cement, I think. Yeah, I think I put... do you know what? I think a cement mixer fell over on top of it.
Oh.
That one. I've broken two wheelbarrows that way.
Wow.
Second one was under lockdown. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I bloody love a wheelbarrow.
This would have been, so what year again? 2007?
Oh, we're still in 07.
Yeah. I think I had not that long moved out of London. I think I've only moved out of London in 06.
Okay.
So I think that's probably what was going on there.
Did you take your vinyl with you this time?
And I didn't have any vinyl at this point. I didn't have a record player at this point. Well, I'm not getting burnt again. I think I might still have had some mini discs at that point.
Oh, I love those guys. Mini discs were the best. You can really tell different generations by what form of music they get nostalgic about. Like, I love mini discs.
Mini discs were great.
And you say that to, but there's a very small window, about 5 years. You know someone's between about 37 and 43 if they love mini discs. Anyone else just looks at you like.
Well, for a long time, if you did an interview, sort of pre-podcast days, if people were doing interviews, you had like syndicated radio guys and stuff like that. Yeah. They had a big, chunky mini disc recorder.
Yeah.
And they were the only people using them.
Yeah. But it was always impressive. There was always an element of, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You can skip tracks on that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can skip tracks. No big deal.
Separate them. Join them.
That was it, though. Yeah. That was it. October 2007 now, Ed Byrne. So life-wise, you've left London by this point, right? So already we've gone from Glasgow.
Cohabiting with my then girlfriend, now wife.
Right. Okay. Are we kidded up yet? Do we have
No.
Okay, fine.
Far away from that.
And look, we see something which is obviously a massive passion in your life. You have bought three books: The Munros, Scotland's Highest Mountains, Walking the Munros, Southern Central and Western Highlands, The Smilers on the Burn Face.
Yeah, yeah.
The Munros, Scottish Mountaineering Club Hillwalker's Guide.
Still have those books. Still have them. I have bought newer editions of the two smaller ones, the volume one and volume two.
Why? The mountains haven't
because
changed.
They come with me. Believe it or not, I think one of them has actually, one of them was downgraded since then. Might have been since then. Yeah, there was 283 and now there's only 282.
Did Hugh Grant
discover that one was actually just a little bit shorter than they thought.
Did Hugh Grant go and measure it?
Measure it.
If anyone sees Hugh Grant on a mountain, that has a reference to quite a niche film.
A niche film, that was absolute bullshit.
That film.
There's never been a gradation between hill and mountain. A Munro has to be 3,000 feet.
Yes.
But there is no official delineation between hill and mountain. That whole story is bullshit. Really? I think it really gets me at the end of that Hugh Grant film is there's footage of like the villagers, the townspeople, and said, oh, and they still do it every year. And you think it's real. And it's absolutely not. They've completely, it's like that thing with Fargo, when you realise that they were just taking the piss when they said it was based on true events.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Horseshit.
What? None of this is true. It would be quite fun, though, if it was true in real life, to wind up the villagers and just appear one morning with loads of wheelbarrows.
And just tell them that.
Yeah. Or just running out. Just,
that's the thing we do.
Stolen your mountain. back to a hill.
So that, what year was that? October?
This is 07. Three times you said what year this is. Oh. I will alert you when we move years.
When we move on. Okay.
We're in 07.
So we're in 07. But what month did you say it was?
October you bought these. Famously a great time to go walking in the mountains in Scotland.
Yeah. I feel like it was... because... it was definitely wintertime. We were driving. Maybe that's strange it took me that long now, because we were driving through Derbyshire, actually.
Beautiful.
Which is where my wife is from. And it was frosty. I remember looking out and going, and I just got a hankering. I went, we should go hill walking. We should do it. We should go hill walking. And then I remembered that there were things called the Munros. I remember Muriel Gray hosted a show called the Munro Show that I dimly remember watching when I was at college back in the, again, it would have been 91, maybe. Mm. And I just suddenly remembered that there was this bunch of mountains. There was a list of them, and people ticked them off. And I just suddenly, that was it. I went straight from, isn't this landscape in Derbyshire lovely, to, I am going to start Munro bagging. And I even remember, I didn't even know how to spell it, because I spelt it like Marilyn Munro when I was trying to search about it online.
Yeah, M-U-N-R-O, mate.
I was like, this is weird. I'm sure there was more resources than this. And then realised I was spelling it wrong. And then, as you say, bought three books.
Are you a spontaneous lane changer like that? Is that quite an Ed Byrne thing to do? To go, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and collect mountains. Bye.
Yes. And I have since had the diagnosis. I've got the ADHD.
Here it comes, guys.
Got the ADHD.
Congratulations.
Which, as I say on stage, if you're a comedian, it's a bit like being told you have skin.
Really? It's a bit like being a basketball player and being told you are diagnosed with being tall.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. I was just talking to my older brother about it the other day, and he was saying, so you're going to do material about it. I said, I've already been doing material about it without realising that's what I was doing material about.
Yeah.
Like, I had all this material about getting annoyed at myself because I can't find anything, and, you know, losing stuff all the time, and doing material about, you know, starting projects and abandoning all these kind of things. And being hyper-focused on some things and not being able to focus on others. And he says, and then my brother just went, you called your first DVD pedantic and whimsical. Wow, you're right. I didn't even see that. I didn't even register.
I mean, it is incredible, isn't it, to look back. And maybe, this happens a lot on this show now.
Because
we have comics and we have the Amazon thing is that all it takes is a twitch of my thumb and I've changed everything I'm doing. Like, so we see this a lot.
Yeah, and you buy one thing and then it says, oh, you want that? You want that book on Munros? You know there's another book on Munros.
And that's it. You're now.
You know there's also another one.
The first person in history to be addicted to Munros.
Yeah.
Do you go to Munros Anonymous? You should do that. I mean, did you actually go?
I've been. And it is something I have stuck with. It took a backseat for a while when we first had kids.
Yeah.
But I was just did a tour around Scotland. I spent a couple of weeks doing village halls in Scotland. And then doing hiking during the day. So I managed in 2 weeks, I managed to do eight Munros across four or five walks. Like, some of them were just one and others were,
It's a good brand. Do you know what I mean? There's an element of sort of Pokemon cards to it.
Yeah.
It's a strong, the Munros, and there's a certain number and you've got to collect
them off, and they take you all over Scotland. Like,
I had no idea.
You can go far and wide across Scotland to get them all. It's weird. There's a funny sniffy attitude as well. For people, sometimes you get people who are into hill walking who aren't into hill walking in the Scottish Islands, and they're not into the Munro bagging. They're not into the ticking. Oh. And they kind of weirdly have this sniffy attitude. Like, I had it once in a fucking, having breakfast in the hotel before heading out to the hills, and I had my Munro book out. Like, and he says, oh, we're doing the Munros, are we ticking them off? Like, yeah. Oh, I don't. I just do it for the love of the hills. Wow. He fucking like stares out the window into the middle distance, like he enjoys the hills more than I do somehow, because he's not counting which ones he's done. Like, do you think I'm just doing it because I only like ticking things off?
Yeah. There are loads of people.
Do you know, think I also maybe enjoy the hills?
There are loads of people at the top just going, eight.
Yeah.
And go, no pictures.
No.
Since 2003, Juliet has made approximately 1.5 million toasters.
And every week at the West Sussex factory, over 2,000 classic toasters shall be. Now here's a very special competition for you all. Win a classic toaster, sandwich gauges, a kettle and some more. A travel mug, compostable coffee bags, all guaranteed. Choose the colours you like, subject to availability. Go to juliet.com/toaster. juliet.com/toaster.
September 2008, you bought something called the CNH Pro Pedals Flight Simulator.
Oh, right.
£119,
yeah.
Literally, yeah. Two pedals.
Yeah.
Are you into pretending to be a pilot?
I actually, at that point in life, I think I'd done a real lesson. I'd had to go in a plane.
Right.
And I thought, this is quite expensive. Maybe I'll practice at home first.
Right. Nice. Yes.
And I did. I think. So if that was a way, I must have bought a whole load again, though, later on in life.
You've bought the Flight Simulator USB Pro Pedals, CNH Flight Sim Yoke. Is it called a Yoke?
The Yoke, yeah. This is basically the steering wheel.
The steering wheel. And then you bought Microsoft Flight Simulator X, the deluxe edition, because why not treat yourself?
Gotta do.
So tell us a bit about this. You know, we've gone from golf last year.
I probably spent 10 minutes on it. I mean, I did not launch a flight simulation career. I bought it. And it's now Microsoft, now, like, Flight Simulator, I think it's just free.
Mm.
You know, I don't think it's even, it's ridiculous that I even, I think shortly after I bought it, it was, you know, you can just get this for nothing.
They couldn't believe someone actually bought it.
Yeah.
And they made so much money. They went, let's just make it free. Ed Burns funded us now. We're good to go.
Yeah, I actually bought it on vinyl. It takes so long. Have you ever bought a game on vinyl? You have to plug your turntable into the computer and wait for it to load. I bought all the private pilot license instruction manuals.
But again, never quite went for it.
Do you know what? I did. I started doing lessons and then we were coming up to the fringe. Then my wife basically went back to work and went, right. You've been on tour. Mm. I've been on tour. I finished tour.
Fed up with traveling. Sick of traveling everywhere.
I'm now going to learn to fly a plane. And my wife went, you've been on tour. I'm now going back to work. You need to look after this child.
Fly a child.
Yeah.
That's what you need to pilot.
Okay. And I ditched the getting me pilot's license.
Well, I'm sure your kids thank you because, you know, they know who daddy is.
Yeah.
May 2008. This is extraordinary. One of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen on my mobile.
I already know it. And I can tell just from the month and the year that this is what this is going to be.
28th of May 2008. What I find so weird about this, you spent £555 on the Wenger. Do we assume Wenger? Or maybe Wenger.
Wenger.
Swiss Army giant knife. Now, this was to commemorate an anniversary of the Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they did this. Yeah. They put all of their attachments that they've ever made onto one knife.
It was in the Guinness Book of Records. It's the largest utility knife, or the most tools in a utility knife ever.
It's huge.
Yeah.
You bought two.
I bought two. For both of my best men. I got married in June.
Oh.
I bought one for my older brother and one for Dara O'Brien. And that was their best man gift.
That's,
I know it was ridiculous to have two best men. That's very,
well, it's expensive with this.
Bets. Yes.
I'd have got them, you know, some aftershave or something, but that's,
I had been Dara's best man and I had been my brother's best man at this point. And I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Thing is, I really wanted my brother to do it, but it seemed more appropriate to have Dara because Dara actually introduced me to my wife.
Oh.
She was doing PR for the firm she was working for, was doing his PR at the Edinburgh Fringe that year.
Oh, I see. God, everyone meets at Edinburgh. Everyone meets at Edinburgh.
I was always going to marry a publicist. That was always going to happen.
Well, because you feel they can stand you talking about yourself.
I feel like, you know, with the public to go, so how was it for you? And they'll at least put a good spin on it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll always say, I've got something really exciting coming up.
Yes, yes.
It's another child, but I've got something exciting, another project incoming.
Darling, whatever it is you want to tell me, can you just pick the best words in the sentence and just say those words?
150
and
words.
Put them in inverted commas.
This knife is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And we'll put pictures of this up on our socials at ToasterPod. And you can watch a video of this on YouTube as well, and you can see it because it is... It's enormous. I mean, tell us.
It would be completely impractical. You would never take it anywhere. You would never actually use it because while you were trying to, the idea of taking out the fish knife and then holding this thing that's almost a foot wide while you tried to use the fish knife.
To screw as well.
Yeah. It would be ludicrous.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what it's the sort of thing you would only ever buy as a gift. You'd never buy it for yourself. It is an utterly pointless item.
But I love utterly pointless items because that says everything about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about the gift and the, you know, the fun and that this is going to be pointless. But here you are.
And I think
I love
it says
you.
Something about the idea of a best man. Look at all the things you can do. This is what this signifies.
They are extraordinary things. Also, I always love the Swiss Army knife sort of idea that explains why the Swiss Army not very invading.
Yeah.
Because if that's their knife, right?
And the fact that there's two companies that can make the Swiss Army knife, there's Victorinox
yes.
and Wenger are the two.
That's it.
Yeah. And no one's allowed. No one else is allowed.
I do have a Swiss Army knife, but it's not that big. It's sort of like a normal size one. I love it. It's got a toothpick on it.
Yeah. I think there's a point in life where you can finally get the knives out using your finger. I think it's normally when you reach the age of about 15, maybe 14, where you can actually just open them. But before that, when you're like, I bought one for my kids. Now, my eldest is 12 and he's still struggling to.
Yeah.
He will take out the toothpick and use that to take out the knife. You
that's
know?
Good though. Yeah. Problem solving. That's what he's doing. Mm. I bought one that the Swiss Army, I think it's Victorinox, actually do a kids Swiss Army knife, which is a troublesome Google, kids knives. But I have a really sort of weird 1950s thing about it. I'm like, we were going to Cornwall. There's some woods near where we were staying. And I was like, I want you guys with your knives in the woods. How long do you think it took?
Before somebody lost an eye?
My eldest.
Before somebody lost their knife?
Skin.
Oh, cut himself.
Right down his finger, open it right up. Because those kids knives, they say it's fine, it's for kids because it hasn't got a pointed end.
Oh, right, but it has got a blade.
Sharp blades, and he literally came running back. Honestly, my wife was like, this is a disaster. What are you doing? Why would you do this? I'm like, no, they've got to learn. They've got to go and be exposed to...
They've got to learn how to remove their own fingerprints in case they're ever caught by the old bill. As soon as you see them approaching, guys, get out the knife. Whittle the end of your fingers. can't get you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Oh, welcome back to part two. Good of you to stick around. Thanks for that. So Ed Byrne is coming back in just a moment. Don't forget you can watch all of this episode right now over at youtube.com/@mymatebotatoaster. Yeah, it's a catchy thing. @mymatebotatoaster. That's our YouTube name. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at False Economy. It is a great podcast. It is something you could do when you finish this episode. You can grab your nearest podcast platform and go and check out False Economy. It is brought to you by the lovely people at Hot UK Deals. It's hosted by Vic Slayton and Paul Watson. There are great episodes out there. There are two series with loads of fabulous comics, including Tom Price. He's very funny. Tim Lovejoy was excellent on it as well. He talked about Suggs and why he hates IKEA. Oh, my word. I know how you feel, Tim Lovejoy, quite frankly. Flo and Joan have done it as well. Loads and loads of brilliant guests talking about all the ridiculous shopping that they've bought. Perhaps my favourite episode, certainly of this, of My Mate Bought a Toaster and of False Economy, was Maisie Adam, who I think can do no wrong. Very, very funny human, talking about all the shopping errors she's made. That is False Economy, available now. Right, back to you, Ed Byrne. Look, we're moving into 2010 now. 5th of December 2010, there's swaddling wrap.
Oh, okay, yeah, 2010. Yes, we had our first child 29th of December 2010, yeah.
Oh, look.
Yes, that's when all the baby stuff comes in now.
Yes, cream-fitted Moses sheets. Oh, baby's very first book. Mm. There we are.
These books are determined to be baby's first. I don't know what their obsession is with wanting to be the baby's first book.
It's got to be baby's first, yeah, everything.
Tell me I'm your first book.
So needy. Here's something that occurs quite a lot, Ed Byrne.
Mm.
Maybe it's for you. I don't know. You've bought earplugs.
Oh, yeah. I buy earplugs a lot. My wife snores.
Okay.
That is the main thing. My wife snores. There may even be other things you could find in there to do with snoring. I'm sure I bought a book called The A to Z of Snoring.
Yeah, you bought a book called Smother Her, for God's sake,
yes.
Smother Her. Yeah, nice.
No, my wife, she does. So I would sleep with earplugs. And now, because I got so used to sleeping with earplugs, even when I'm not in the same room as my snory wife, I just got used to wearing them. So I just sleep with earplugs in these days.
Don't you find the silence terrifying? I can't do earplugs because it feels like I'm too close to my brain.
No. What is weird is that, say you're sleeping in a hotel that's got a nightclub beneath it.
Oh my God, don't.
And admittedly, my days of doing that are becoming fewer.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it actually amplifies the bass sound.
Yes. Well, it would do.
Yeah.
Mm. But you know what? Another thing I found out when I got the ADHD diagnosis, 12 months and counting, another thing I found out was that people with ADHD are very, very susceptible to being annoyed by sound.
Yes. It sounds that most people can tune out. You grip onto it like it's like a life raft.
I will lie there in bed, and if someone's having a party three streets away and they're shouting, I don't care. But if I can hear, that's it, I'm done.
I moved out of a flat once because the flat next door was empty and no one was changing the smoke alarm batteries.
Oh yeah.
And I went, I can't do this. I can't live here anymore.
You left.
I left. I mean, I was on my way to leaving that flat anyway, but I went, that's the last straw. I can't.
It's that.
It's so far apart, you can't quite predict when the next one's
coming. Oh, that's exactly it.
That's the worst part.
You can't tune something out that has got that distance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the worst.
It's like it's almost done deliberately. It's like a bird scarer. It just waits for you to relax again before it hits. Yeah.
Oh, you bought a Brabantia toilet brush because you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Brabantia.
Don't think I still have that.
Okay.
But yeah, Brabantia, one of those ones. If you ever feel like you're a bit too fancy, like say you got yourself a Brabantia bin in the kitchen, they're quite nice. What you do is you accessorize it with a regular black refuse sack.
That is.
And that just dresses it down a bit.
You're sort of own branding the Brabantia thing.
That's your equivalent of wearing sort of Converse trainers with a suit.
Nice. You know? Yeah. But it's very upsetting when you see the bit of the black bin bag coming out from underneath the lid. Yeah, that is like an untucked shirt. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
I need my bins to be tidy.
Deliberately, just to go, I bought a Brabantia bin. I'm not buying the fucking bin liners that go with it.
I'm casual.
Yeah.
That bin is in Mufti right now.
Yeah.
It's fine. But you've got the toilet brush here, the Brabantia toilet brush. Again, lovely bit of metal there. I find toilet brushes just deeply upsetting, especially ones in public toilets or hotel toilets, because there's always elements of other people's shit.
Well, one of my pet hates is when I stay in a hotel that doesn't have a toilet brush. I will, like, what do you want me to do with this? I don't want to leave this for the cleaner. Am I supposed to use my hands to get rid of this?
Sometimes you can stand up and wee it off. I mean, that is quite disgusting.
I mean, that is effort. I find you just get a lot of toilet paper and just stick it down and then hope that the flush will create some friction.
Yeah.
But especially sometimes you're staying in a hotel for a week.
Yes.
And sometimes you're on the telly and the cleaner knows who you are.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Interesting. So what you're saying is one of the worst things about fame, Ed, is that you can't have an anonymous poo.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that you can then just leave for the woman you've been nodding to every day. All right.
Can you imagine, though, someone somewhere having that as idle gossip? You turn up on TV.
I don't know what he eats, but he leaves some fucking trails on that pan.
Juliet Toaster sponsors Toaster Pod. So get a Juliet Toaster and become a toaster god. They're shiny and luxurious. The other brands are furious. They make us toaster curious. Now we love Toaster Pod.
All right, 2011 now, Ed Byrne. And this, another big purchase.
Yeah.
And again, the order in which they're purchased is interesting, right? You've gone for the natural Allwood multi-height high chair and then an East Coast high chair. So you bought two high chairs.
Yeah. Okay. We were having our second child came May 2012. So okay, kind of been about that.
Well, this is 1st of December 2011. But the point is, you bought two wooden high chairs and then, and I don't know if what's happened. I don't know if you are a tantrumer, but 6 days later, you bought a chainsaw.
Yes, I still have a chainsaw. I like firewood is a big thing with me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I've got into the whole wood fire thing. Right. And we did have, we've got nearly an acre. And right, there are sort of, what were blackthorn hedges that became trees and were in the way. So some of them came down.
How is it cutting down a tree with a chainsaw? Because for me, again, masculinity.
Dangerous, more dangerous than I shouldn't really have done it. Yeah.
Petrol powered?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the proper. And it's not, that's the danger. I'm not afraid of that. I'm going to, like, I've never worried I'm going to cut myself or anything like that.
Mm.
But yeah, there's a definite tricks to dealing with wood, because they can come down and then you saw them and then they're actually, you realize that the branch you're doing is like sort of under strain and it twangs.
Ooh.
You know, and then it can hit you. And or you can be up, you can have a ladder against a tree and cut a branch off and then the branch goes down and hits the ground and then falls over and hits your ladder and you're dangling.
Oh my God.
Things like that can happen. Yeah.
Have you had any accidents doing that?
Yeah, I actually have. I helped a friend. I have some friends who've got sort of woodland on their properties.
Have you made friends with them?
Our kids go to posh schools.
Oh, see. Okay, fine.
Our kids go to posh schools. We know some posh people.
The kids go off to boarding school.
No, they don't go to boarding school, but they go to posh.
The kids
go
off and do rugby and, you know, pony hikes. And then you meet all the other dads. Let's take some of the family trees down.
I hear you got a chainsaw. I've got a branch that's hanging off a tree. Literally, me and this other guy, who was an old Etonian. And I went to his house and he held me. I have a climbing harness.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Is it just a belt?
You put your legs in it and stuff, you know. And then roped up, threw it over the tree. So he's got the rope around a tree. He's holding me. I go up the ladder. I take down the branch, but then the branch falls, hits the ladder. And I'm there dangling in midair. He's holding me. I've got the chainsaw. It's still running. So I did. I dropped the chainsaw and it broke just a tiny bit.
You had to drop the chainsaw at this point.
I didn't have to. I probably could have held. I could have, but I just did.
But you're
Ed Byrne. I was swinging in midair and I just thought the safest thing to do would be actually to let the chainsaw go.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there's some antics have gone on.
I'm just sort of picturing an Ed Byrne grandfather clock.
Yeah.
Just the metronome just hanging there. And this Etonian. Okay, old boy.
I'm known. I'm
do
known
you befriend
in the school.
People with woodland?
Bill, no, word gets around.
Ed Byrne's at the drive again, darling.
Oh, if you got trees down on your property, do you know who's really Ed Byrne? He'll ask him. He'll chop that up for you. He'll clear it for you in exchange for some of the wood.
That's what you do.
You're sort of a tree agent.
You'll take 15%.
Exactly.
I love your life, Ed Byrne. It's ridiculous. We got ourselves a nice shredder here, July 2011. You've bought two.
Yeah, paper shredders. Yeah, I bought one for downstairs. I bought one for my office and one for downstairs.
What?
In the end, it ended up being, too much.
Did you not think you could carry the paper upstairs to the...
I just thought I can't be arsed. I thought, you know, because generally, you know, post comes in. Look, my office is in an attic conversion, so technically it's three floors above.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've ever carried paper up three floors. It's not that bad.
No one's going to go, I'm going to go upstairs to shred something.
This is like the equivalent of there's a hard and fast rule that whenever you're trying to buy something online, the card with the three numbers on the back that you need is on a different floor of the house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So by that logic, you'd have a credit card on every floor of the house.
No. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, that's too far. Right.
Okay, all right, let me ask you this. Have you ever phoned your wife even though you were both in the same building?
Oh, we text constantly.
Yeah, there you go. So come on. You can't have me for that.
Yeah.
I admittedly, yes, you're right. It was, I don't know why I'm arguing with you. No, it was a frivolous expense.
It's hilarious.
But only because my wife never used it. She didn't like it. It was just in the way. I thought, let's have one downstairs. Because that's where the junk mail, that's where the bills come in. They come into the house through the letterbox.
Yes.
And if you just want to go straight away, bzzz,
just tear them up.
You know.
When you tear them up.
You could just tear, them up.
I tear them up. Like you've bought a shred, you've bought two.
I did,
and also they're really expensive ones.
Yeah, I know.
ADHD and you know success.
Yeah,
Ed,
they went crazy on there. One of them, and what's interesting is one of them pulps the paper absolutely tiny, like smaller than confetti.
Right,
but you can only you basically have to put them in one page at a time. Like if you got a
I've got my mum's got one of those.
Yeah, if you got like a bank statement.
Oh my god,
you're fucking standing there for 2 minutes.
You'd need to employ someone.
Yeah.
To spend the day feeding it in.
Yeah. The other one shreds like a regular shredder, but you can put a lot more in.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, a good shredding speed, and we will get back to the podcast soon, it's got to be four pieces of paper per minute, five pieces. Do you know what I mean? Just like bam, bam, bam.
But the way I see it, you can't put your VAT bill, even when you've already paid it, you can't put your VAT bill straight into the recycling.
No, but no, that's true.
You've got to shred it.
It's in the cloud now again, you see?
Yeah.
All that stuff exists.
Because I'm so safety conscious. That's how I got my email address and my Twitter account hacked.
Here's a good one. Look, grappling gloves.
I went through a bit of a martial arts phase. I had a wooden dummy for a while. Yeah. Can't get them on Amazon. But I did have for a while. I was in a Wing Chun club and I really got quite into the wooden dummy thing.
I just sort of imagine your wife walking into the room and one day you're on a flight simulator and the next you're grappling a dummy and she's just going...
There he is. It's the next thing.
Then 15th of January 2018, you spent £230 on the Lego Houses of Parliament.
That was for my wife.
That's a beautiful...
That was for my wife. She loves a bit of Lego. But there's nowhere to put it now. We have a reasonable sized house. The Lego House of Parliament sits in the guest bedroom. Mm. I bought her the Sydney Opera House and there's nowhere to put it. She bought me the big Millennium Falcon, which is in my office. But she has nowhere to put the Sydney Opera House once it's built. So it's...
Yeah.
She hasn't built it yet.
You need to buy another house.
Yeah, I need another house just to put Lego.
Just put Lego things in.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse. I would never do this when, especially if you build something with the kids. Mm. Not that I'd let the kids anywhere near that.
No.
Taking it down, because eventually you do have to say we need the space and you take Lego down. It's one of the most depressing things in the world because you built this with your kid who was much younger and now here you are years later just taking it apart brick by brick.
Yeah.
We've had to do it because of running out of space.
It's funny, my elder boy loves making Technics Lego now.
Oh yeah.
Lots of cars and that. Mm. My younger son he's kind of grown out of Lego anyway, but he never really liked putting it together. He put it together for you. Ninjago was his big thing.
Yeah.
Ninjago Lego. You'd make it for him and he'd play with it.
Okay, good.
So,
but then that's great because then you're playing with your son, but really just building him Lego.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you're like, here you are, and everyone's winning.
But now he doesn't play with it because he's too old. You know, he's nearly 11.
Yeah.
But it still sits there, and he's a hoarder.
Right. Are you a hoarder?
I know what. Do you know what? I think of myself as what? There was a word I saw it in a news article. I'm building a prop store. That's what I'm doing.
Nice.
In case anybody ever wants to set a comedy drama around a particular year, I have the appropriate laptops, gaming machines, for mobile phone handsets for that year. You can use me as a resource, as a prop store. What year is that set in? Oh, you'll want a Sony CMZ1 handset. They were quite rare at the time, but that'll really identify the age that this is set in.
I sort of imagine you like, there's always those grizzled American cop shows and there's the guy in charge of the evidence room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go to him and he's like, 1 second, and he walks off down the corridor and comes back with the, and he sort of seals the tape and opens it.
Yeah.
And there's Ed Burns' life.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to play the coroner who eats while he's cutting up dead bodies. That's the thing.
Always one of those.
This is how inured I am to it. I'm just completely me. Look at me eating. Don't you get a lunch break? You're on a couple, it's a union job. Surely you have a paid lunch break.
We like to listen to toast. And we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to toast. La la la.
loads and loads of stuff as we get into your last few months. One thing we haven't really dwelt on, actually, which we'll quickly do, quite a lot of exercise stuff as well. There's lots of outdoorsy things and lots of weights.
Yeah, I did. I you know, I got into it. Are you familiar with the comedian Paul Meyerhog, Canadian stand-up?
No, I don't.
He opened for me on tour on a couple of tours. He's a very funny man.
Yeah,
he got it. He got me into it. He said, "We're going to do it. We're going to go. We're going to have a plan." Yeah. And we did. And when we were on the road, we joined one of those gyms that's got a gym in every town. Yeah. And we went and we worked out. And around 2019, early 2020, just before lockdown, I was in the best shape of my life.
Were the muscles bigger?
Were they there? I mean, they were there.
Because I've never had that.
And it wasn't just that. I found I was able to lift things up like my kids with ease.
Nice.
And it actually, I enjoyed it. And then lockdown came and it all went to shit.
Yeah. You didn't need to lift your kids up then anyway. They're old enough to, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware that I'm never going to be body. There's another one I do a joke about in my act where I say about, like, I'm not genetically predisposed to putting on muscle mass. I'm what's known in the bodybuilding fraternity as a hard gainer or lazy twat, depending on how you look. But the thing is that it's what saps your motivation is knowing you're never going to get that big anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm aware that even if I worked out every day, even if I took steroids, human growth hormone, all the rest, I know the best I can hope for is maybe eventually one day I'd look like Iggy Pop. And that's disgusting, and it's the goal.
As an end point,
yeah.
That's not a journey you want to set off on. This is really interesting. A Surf Blue Gluggle Jug.
That was for my wife. That's like in the shape of a fish.
Yes.
Yeah, and you pour it to a water jug, and it makes a big noise when you pour water into or out of it.
And do you say, this is you snoring?
Should do. Yeah.
This is what you sound like. Look, here's another. I mean, I don't want to point this podcast, the end of this fantastic podcast, I want to point it in a direction of mortality. 13th of February, just before Valentine's Day. Really romantic. You bought a blood pressure monitor.
And that, again, was because of the ADHD medication.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be monitoring my blood pressure nowadays.
And in true ADHD fashion, how many times have you done that?
I've not done it because I never did it before I started taking the medication. So I've actually got no baseline to register it against. So what's the fucking point?
Hooray! And this was the last podcast Ed Byrne ever did. Well, no, listen, Ed, this has been an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Taking a walk.
No, I've enjoyed it. It's not been as embarrassing as I thought it was going to be.
No, I just think you've got no shame.
Yeah.
You're just not embarrassed.
Maybe that's why. That's what it is. Yeah. Most people would have been embarrassed by a lot of this.
Ed Byrne, you're a superstar. Thank you so much for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Your podcast.
It's called Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby. Brilliant. And it's coming soon. Let's put it that way.
Cannot wait to hear it. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you.
I absolutely love him, even if he did buy 3 paper shredders. Very suspicious. You can see the whole episode at youtube.com/mymatebought a toaster. There is loads of extra exclusive content over at patreon.com/toasterpod. You can hear Ed truly shocked at his own shopping history.
A 3-CD album by Puff Daddy. Again, you could tell you're getting ready to be a daddy.
Jesus, no.
You can find out his approach to parenting.
You bought the DVD of Dexter Season 4, which is Dexter covered in blood with a child on his shoulders. That's right. A really nice image of becoming a dad there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find out what on earth this is.
It's quite large and weighty, and I use it very rarely.
Right, it's £435.
Yeah.
All of the extra bits of Ed Byrne at patreon.com/toasterpod. Right now, for as little as £3 a month, you can join in. It's a lot of lols. Also, next week's episode with Axel Blake, last year's winner of Britain's Got Talent, already up.
You bought a book by Stuart Ferris called How to Chat Up Babes.
How to Chat Up Babes?
This is why I love this show, man. I've never had a conversation about a shoehorn before. Do you know, I don't think we've ever bought anything on the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's be the first.
Are you serious?
Yeah, let's buy it. I didn't realise how much you can find out about someone by what they've purchased. Really fascinating.
Someone should really do a show about it.
Mm.
Put it on the internet.
Yeah.
Put it on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, podcast.
Give it a name. What kind of name was it?
Yeah, something silly.
Yeah.
My mate bought a toaster.
Yeah, something. Think about it a bit more.
And that episode is up now in its entirety at patreon.com/toasterpod. That's it for now. See you next week. Bye, 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 bye.
It's my mate bought a toaster. Oh, it's my mate bought a toaster. Yeah, yeah. My mate bought a toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.